every
time you keep me on my knees, happily excited by your good dome, your hands, your home, your big hairy chest. You do me so good, G. You tease me, you please me, you lube me, give me wet dreams to think about, ignite me, you invite me, you ride D, you love me, you like me, you inside my anus, so loose, 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 loose.
Amen.
All right, welcome to Big Boy Brunch, where topics get tasted. I am Lolo Von Z, that is L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z, a.k.a. the Liberian Aquarian. Does this a water? A.k.a. the Joel of Connoisseur, a.k.a. the patron saint of Crunchyroll passwords, a.k.a. the jack of all trades who jacks off all trade, a.k.a. the queer golf course because I keep 18 holes on me, a.k.a. Lolo Rambo, New Monica, a.k.a. Black Dynamite, don't you interrupt my kung fu, a.k.a. MODOK, hey big head, a.k.a. Raya and the Last Faggot, because my sword reaches all you niggas, a.k.a. your first choice for a verse voice. And now, it is time to introduce the hostess with the mostest, my work husband, till copyright infringement do us part, Mr. Dre, how's my beautiful hydrangea?
I don't know
you
how
getting
to...
getting your petals wet? You getting your petals watered?
And sticky, yes. I don't know how this nigga comes to, with this shit every week, but I'm so glad that he does. Yes, like I say every week, I am here, I'm queer, and I'm mostly used to it. And yeah, I am happy to be back in the same, I want to say vicinity, the same digital space as my nigga.
The same nigg vicinity.
That's it. And yeah, we got some good shit. And some good food.
Alright, yeah, yes we do. Got a dope brunch for y'all today. Got some pancake battered fried chicken tenders topped with a spicy maple gravy. And we got a cold limeade to sip on today. It's just right. It's so right. Like the batter, it tastes like, have you ever had like carnival food?
Mm-hmm.
Like them pull up carnivals, mm-hmm. where you don't go on the rides because they've been put together by like Phillips head screwdrivers and
by Scotch Allen tape. Wrench. Yeah.
So yeah, Allen Wrench. Yeah, you don't go on the ride. You just go for the food because it's top tier. That's what it tastes like.
Love that. So no alcohol today. No alcohol. We going light.
Yeah, we're going live today. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. I just had to have a clear mind. Keep taking it easy today. Oh yeah, sorry, so fucking sorry for last week, yo. It was a fucking mess. It was a damn mess. Technical difficulties was beating our ass all week, but we are back. We're back in the new episode, and we're dropping two episodes this week. For y'all. For y'all, cause y'all deserve it. Y'all deserve it. Thank y'all so much for listening. But let's get into it. Let's get into the show.
Yes.
moving on to a heaping helping of blurred news. And we got a lot today in a segment I like to call Nerdy Nuggets, the Saweetie McDonald's meal.
Nick, I can't wait to talk about that shit.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I know that's right.
Woo, God.
The new chapter of Bleach from series creator Tite Kubo is now available to read on Viz's English Shonen Jump website. The new 74-page manga chapter was released to the English Shonen Jump website on August 9th. The new chapter continues on after the time skip seen in the final chapter of the main Bleach manga series, and features an older Ichigo, Orihime, and their child, Kazui. The new story is the first chapter of the Bleach manga to be published since 2016, and is being released to coincide with the 20th anniversary of the original publication of Kubo's Shonen Epic, which debuted in Weekly Shonen Jump on August 7th, 2001. While the manga is being treated as a one-shot, the story does appear to set the stage for a new adventure for Ichigo and his fellow Soul Reapers. Bleach tells the story of Ichigo, a young man with a supernatural awareness of ghosts, who gets drawn into the conflict between the Hollows, a race of malicious spirits, and the Soul Reapers, a group of powerful warriors who protect humanity and the spirits of the recently departed from the Hollows. After a chance encounter with the skilled warrior Rukia, Ichigo becomes a Soul Reaper himself, and has to learn to hone his skills in order to fight not just the Hollows, but also corruption within the ranks of the Soul Reapers. Bleach is one of the most popular shonen manga series of all time, and was once considered one of Weekly Shonen Jump's Big Three, alongside Eiichiro Oda's still going on One Piece and Masashi Kishimoto's Naruto. The series was adapted into an anime series that ran from 2004 to 2012. In 2020, it was announced that a new season of the anime was in production and would adapt the later chapters of the manga that were published after the original anime series ended. Listen, I read the new chapter. It's lit. I appreciate it. Ichigo got a new haircut. Like, he don't look like he's in a K-pop punk band anymore. Like, he grown. He got a kid. I really do appreciate seeing all the girlies back, them including, like, all the Soul Reapers from the Soul Society. Like, the Rukia finding out what FaceTime is was hilarious. Like, it was just so nice, like, seeing all the characters, you know, coming together. And a bunch of new characters, like, some new Soul Reapers were in there. And one of them was a dark-skinned girl. And I appreciated that. And and she, you would like this, like her special attack, like she attacks with her acrylic nails.
You're lying. Like, you lying.
I shit you not. They was fighting monsters and Mama came out with the claw and it was like had like a there was like a bear attack and she like chopped a Hollow's head off with her acrylic nails. It was pretty amazing.
That is so perfect. So, I love that.
Yeah. definitely check the new chapter out. I cannot wait for the new anime, because like them fighting the like all those the Quincy's, it pretty much gives the same vibe of when they were fighting the Arrancars. There's like, you know, niggas in white suits and whatever, but you know, it's cool. Like, it just like Bleach ain't gotta reinvent the wheel. Like, the animation is beautiful, the fights stellar, and it just like the whole just the whole aura of the show is like supernatural, and I really like it. Dre, you need to get into it. Like, you need to get into it. You loving like ghosts and spooky shit, like, get into it. So
yeah, absolutely. Bleach is like one of those animes that like people have been telling me about for a while, and I'm like, oh yeah, bitch, I'm gonna check it out, and I just like always get sidetracked. But definitely, check it out.
Well, moving right along, according to GamesRadar.com, no matter how you slice it, Marvel's Avengers hasn't had the best year. From a buggy launch to dwindling player counts, it was beginning to look like it was all over for Square Enix's ambitious outing. Yet, like any superhero worth their salt, Marvel's Avengers isn't going down without a fight. And if the free War for Wakanda expansion's first two missions are anything to go by, the Avengers still has a few blows left in it. Set 5 years after Wakanda closed its borders to the outside world, we join our hero in this Black Panther DLC, tailing some mercs lurking in a nearby jungle. T'Challa's solution? A royally decreed ass-whooping. Leaping into action, it becomes immediately apparent that War for Wakanda is a more challenging beast. As I sent our acrobatic Wakandan king hurtling into battle, his foes hit back just as hard. Instead of the mindless button mash of old, Ulysses Claw's vibranium mining mercs immediately surrounded me, dodging my flurry of attacks and responding with AoE moves that dole out some serious punishment. After quickly growing tired of the base game's challenges slog, getting my ass instantly handed to me was a welcome surprise. Following months without endgame content and baffling XP system fixes, War for Wakanda immediately attempts to demonstrate that developer Crystal Dynamics is learning from its mistakes. Listen. I've seen a couple clips from the War of Wakanda, and I do plan on getting the Avengers game, mainly so I can play as Black Panther. Like I told you, until y'all add Black Panther, I am not touching this game because that's some bullshit. And I appreciate, like, understandably, like, they put a hold on the Black Panther rollout because Chadwick Boseman had passed. But now that he's back, now that Black Panther is back, like, I'm really excited. Like, literally, like, I am a gamer, but, like, I only play unless if it's a character I'm really, really interested in. Like, last game I played was the Miles Morales game, and now it's going to be the Black Panther game. Like, it's Black superhero video games for me, and I really appreciate it. So, yeah, I can't wait. I really cannot wait, because, like, for years I've been like, can we have a Black Panther video game? Can we have a Black Panther video game? And yeah, it's only an expansion. It's like a connection to the other games, but this is the best we're gonna get for now. So,
yeah.
Did you see the designs? And like he's rocking cool. like the cornrows.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Like
I was like, come on. Sick.
Yes. So it looks cool. Mm-hmm. It looks really cool.
T'Challa with some natural hair. I appreciate it. Let's go.
Like, come on. Mm. Come on.
Moving right along. According to Screen Rant, Disney CEO Bob Chapek confirms Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings movie will release only in theaters on September 3rd. The second movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 is set to introduce Simu Liu as the titular hero, Shang-Chi. As has been confirmed by the film's title and teased in the Shang-Chi movie trailers, the Ten Rings are also set to be explored after they were first referenced in Iron Man all the way back in 2008. Shang-Chi will also properly introduce the Marvel Comics villain the Mandarin after the character name was used in Iron Man 3, only for it to be revealed he was merely a figurehead for Aldrich Killian's plans. All that's to say, there's plenty to look forward in Shang-Chi. With Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings scheduled to hit theaters on September 3rd, the movie is gearing up for release. However, there's been speculation about whether Shang-Chi will head to Disney Plus Premier Access for a hybrid theatrical and streaming release. Over the last year, Disney has released some of its films straight to Disney Plus, either for free or with the added cost of Premier Access, or opted to release films on Disney Plus Premier Access the same day as in theaters, as was the case with Marvel Studios' Black Widow in July. As COVID cases surge in the U.S. as a result of the Delta variant, many are looking to see how Disney will handle their fall releases, particularly Shang-Chi. However, Disney confirmed Shang-Chi will release only in movie theaters on September 3rd. Chapek explained that it's essentially too late to shift Shang-Chi's release to a combination of theatrical and Disney Plus Premier Access. He said, "We think it's actually going to be an interesting experiment for us because it only has a 45-day window for us." He went on to say, because of the practically of last-minute changes, it wouldn't be possible to move Shang-Chi to a hybrid streaming and theatrical release. Ugh. So, this is very frustrating because I do think that this film is going to need that premiere access push in order to, like, make the numbers, at least numbers to match to match Black Widow, because people still, like, most people still aren't risking going out to the movie theaters. Like, the reason people liked Black Widow is that they could watch it at home. And you're forcing people to go to the theaters to go see this shit when Delta, New Delta, is shimmying her way through. Like, it's not realistic. It's really not realistic.
I was saying, I don't know. There was like this one movie that got was released recently that like abysmal at the box office. I forgot, but basically, like, right now, the fact that there are some films being released that are doing abysmal at box offices, and like you said, Delta, New Delta.
New Delta!
And, you know.
Delta, New Delta, New.
All around the U.S. Like, it's just not. I feel like they should have anticipated this. Like, just, like, planned for it to possibly happen before they decided that they were going to do it exclusively in movie theaters. That's just not smart. It's like, do y'all even want anybody to see this film for real?
It's really important for, Asian population. Like, this is the first, this is the first Marvel superhero movie, like, with an Asian lead and a predominantly Asian cast. And everything's being set up to fucking tank the whole fucking experience. It's really frustrating because, like, as an Asian American or just an Asian person in general, like, having to experience prejudice, you know, in general, and then here comes COVID, and then everyone's blaming COVID on, like, well, not everyone, but, like, bigots are blaming COVID on Chinese people, like, calling it some racist shit, like the Kung Flu and yada, yada, yada. And, like, you getting weird looks, like, even though you're not Chinese. And even if you are Chinese, you shouldn't be getting these weird looks, like people getting their ass beat just for existing. And it's Asian people in general got thrown under the bus for this shit. And, like, here we have this wide-scale mainstream release of this superhero movie with an Asian lead, with a predominantly Asian cast, and now y'all are setting it up to do abysmally in the box office. And it's really frustrating because, they deserve to have, like, a movie that makes them feel good about themselves, you know, just like Black Panther. I'm right there with them. However, I do not, and why I'm also upset is because they're setting it up to do abysmally. The anti-Black Asian demographic is going to turn the, I can just see them turning their frustration right over to the Blacks. He's like, Black Panther got this. I'm like, yo, we were not in a Pantene Pro-V when Black Panther came out. Girl, like, don't involve us.
Exactly.
Like, it makes no sense for them to like, you know, bring us in it, but, you know, there's gonna be a handful of them bringing their shit when I could just see it every single time for ages. Like, I think even back when Crazy Rich Asians dropped, like, they were comparing it to Black Panther. Like, this is our big tentpole movie with eight. I'm like, yeah. Every single time, like, why am I in it? Why am I in it? Like, I like, why I ain't even do nothing. And it's no shade. And we talked about this on the pod before. It's just like, Black people, we succeed, we get certain things, because, like, we've naturally had to protest and fight and stand up for ourselves a little bit harder. You know, no shade, a little bit harder than Asian people, because, like, yeah, the darker skin and, you know, the whole model minority thing. And granted, like, it's still racist. It's still extremely racist to assume that Asian people are more docile, more intelligent, you know, more respectable than Black people. But but it's like it's still like it's still a trope that just comes back on black people. Like it's and it's like a lot of Asian people like really like internalize that model minority myth. So and like just yeah, versus black people who are always assumed to be up to no good, to be violent, to be loud, to be disrespectful, and all that stuff. So we've had to fight harder to change at like to change society's perspective of us and to just do it for ourselves. And so this all goes back to like, oh, you know, it's all Black Lives Matter. That's all everybody's talking about. Because we've had to go a little bit harder because people like, yes, like people's assumptions that y'all are intelligent and, you know, docile and all that stuff. Yeah, it's racist, but it hasn't been getting y'all killed. So we've had to go a little harder, quite literally for our humanity. Yeah. But back to the movie part, it's just like, it's just really frustrating because I just see all of that shit happening. But we shall see. I'm still gonna watch it. Like my biggest joy in the world is like seeing different types of superhero movies with like, you know, different POC leads. Like I really do appreciate like all types of cinema and like actors. And I want to see, you know, more Asian actors. I want to see more Southeast Asian actors. Like don't even get me wrong. Like I fell asleep watching Kung Fu from the CW last night. So yeah. I no shade. Like I would like to see a few more fight scenes, but just like the dynamic between the main character Nikki and her parents is just like the acting is so good. Don't mind the name. It could have been called something. But the dynamic between Nikki and her family is just so it's great, and like they got some actors on that show. But yeah, just get ready, y'all, because the storm is coming. Chloe Bennett has stepped down as one of the three leads in the live-action CW pilot based on the Powerpuff Girls. Variety has learned exclusively. Bennett was set to star as Blossom in the pilot, which is currently titled Powerpuff. The show was originally in contention during pilot season earlier this year for a potential fall air date, but the CW made the decision to redevelop and reshoot it instead, with CW chairman and CEO Mark Pedowitz calling the first pilot a miss. According to an individual with knowledge of the situation, studio Warner Brothers Television wanted to extend Bennett's option as they reworked the pilot, but scheduling conflicts forced her to exit instead. Casting for a new third Powerpuff Girl will begin in the fall. Girl! Girl, what is happening? Mama said, I've seen the press. Y'all not about to do me like this. I'm out. I'm out, y'all. Like I got three, four other offers. Like all of them look cuter than this. I'm about to walk on it. Like y'all can have this.
Mm. I don't blame her either. Like this whole thing has just been like from the initial announcement and then to the pictures we saw of them on set. And the fact that through all of this, nigga. Oh, God.
With those the dresses and everything. And the Sunday school shoes. No. It was not it. It was not it.
I call them the she's a witch. because my God. But like the fact all of that and the fact that we've yet to even see a trailer. Like just a quick
because that trailer, script like leaked because that script leaked and all the girls were like, excuse me, Buttercup trying to coerce a straight person into sleeping with her. Child, like ew,
like no, but like all of that coming together, it's like I don't blame her. She's like, you know what, girls, good luck to y'all. Good luck, you know, shout out to everybody. I had fun, but I'm out this bitch. And I don't blame her because that.
It's a mess. And, you know, it's the thing is, they probably gonna pick another Asian girl to take her spot. They're gonna get a Chloe Bennett lookalike to come through and do the exact same role. Because, listen, if you're not gonna do it, like, there's eight other girls who we can get who want your spot.
Unfortunately. And, like, you know, unlike Sonic, bullying doesn't seem to be working with them too much. So we'll see how it goes. I just hope that, never mind. I don't hope
Thank you so much for mentioning Sonic. Oh my God, our minds are connected because that's the next story. So Idris Elba is joining as the voice of Knuckles the Echidna on the Sonic the Hedgehog sequel, whose introduction was teased at the end of the first film. Elba teased his casting on his own Instagram along with a look at Knuckles. Knuckles and the caption "Knock Knock." I should say it the way he would say it. Knock, knock, bruv. With a picture of the Knuckles. And it's currently being scheduled for release on April 8th, 2022. Yes. Thank you very much. To whoever tweeted, I need Idris Elba to knuckle the rings out of my vagina or bussy. Yeah, bussy. Not yeah.
I saw it. Jesus Christ.
you are loved. You are protected. Because, yes.
Also, Jack A. Harry, did you see her tweet? Auntie is horny.
It's giving, like, brownstone level horny auntiness. Pass the loving, baby. Yeah. It's so funny because, like, it's so left field, but it works because, like, Knuckles is like a rough, tough, like, he'll fuck you up, and like Idris Elba, like, he ain't no joke. Like, oh my God.
I wonder if they'll let him keep his accent.
I'm pretty sure they hired him because of his accent. You notice how Idris Elba has just been playing himself for a minute,
and I love it,
he's the type of actor who, like, I don't mind him playing himself because he is very engaging as a person.
Can I just really quick say what Jack A. Harry said? Because I really just want to say it.
No, you go ahead and read it.
Yeah, she said, should I play a villain in Sonic 2? I know one way to make Idris Elba's knuckles disappear. So,
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Yes. God.
To the knuckle? To the knuckle, Miss Harry? To the knuckle, Miss Harry?
To the knuckles.
Knuckles. Knuckles. She said
multiple
plural.
Knuckles
plural.
Disappear. So, we love the horniness that Idris is bringing to the timeline.
She trying to get Idris jacked off.
Oh God. Mm-mm-mm. But other than that, Knuckles,
was my favorite. He's Sonic, but he's red and he fights. Yeah, I like him better.
Yeah, he be beating ass.
I can't wait.
That big ass.
Big ass hands.
Just busting niggas in their face.
We some head busses. Yo, did you see the memes of people just putting drawing the Knuckles, like, hair on Idris Elba in, like, other roles that he's been in?
Nigga, yes. Yes. That and then them converting Knuckles to the Arthur meme, all that type of shit. It's so cool.
Like we are canceling the apocalypse, and he got the big red hair on. Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Oh, my God. So fun.
Mm. Oh, my God. Moving on. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Spider-Man Homecoming breakout Jacob Batalon is making the move to television. Batalon, the actor behind Peter Parker's lovable sidekick Ned Leeds, will star in sci-fi's Reginald the Vampire, a dramedy based on author Johnny B. Truden's Fat Vampire series. The hour-long dramedy has been picked up straight to series with a 10-episode order at the NBC Universal-backed Basic Cable Network. The series revolves around an unlikely hero, Reginald Baskin, who tumbles headlong into a world populated by beautiful, fit, and vain vampires as an unlikely hero who will have to navigate every kind of obstacle. The girl he loves but can't be with, a bully manager at work, and the vampire chieftain who wants him dead. Fortunately, Reginald discovers he has a few unrecognized powers of his own. All right, I'm with it. Jacob Batalon, like, he is such a charismatic person. He is such a charismatic on screen. Somebody actually pointed out that he is the first person, like, the first fat person that they've seen in, like, ever on screen, who was literally just existing as a person with no none of the jokes around Ned were related to his weight. He had a girlfriend, and it was just, you know, he was just chill. He was like the dude in the chair, like none of that. He was allowed, like, that is how you cast a fat person and, like, how you write a role for a fat person. Like, they're literally just allowed to exist as a person. And yeah, you go through the past two Spider-Man movies, and you will not see a joke, like, directed at his weight. It's just him as a person, and I really appreciate that. So he is, like, he's, like, the perfect person to cast as a fat vampire. And yeah, I think he's gonna crush it. And he's cute. He's adorable. Yeah, I love it. I can't wait for what they're gonna do in Spider-Man No Way Home, because the cross, like the three Spider-Man crossover, like, it's happening. Like, they keep it under wraps, but, like, they don't have to, but also it's like the first, it will have been 20 years since the first Spider-Man promo for the first movie, so it would just make sense then.
Can you believe? Like, my God.
Can you believe?
You caught it.
Also, Louis Guzman has been cast as Gomez in the Wednesday Addams series on Netflix. I can't wait to see my daddy in, like, that black and white suit. Like, just, he has a long, long, like, acting resume. He's been out here for decades just doing the damn thing, like, just chilling. Like he is, like, the, he's, like, he's been the best friend, he's just been the homie, he's been, like, psychic, but, like, he's gotten steady work because he just felt very, very down to earth and very chill. Like, and I just love seeing Louis Guzman, like, act as an actor. Like, I really rock with him, and he's adorable. Like, I like him in that dark, just him playing, like, a gothic father. I'm just like, ugh, my loins. I appreciate it. love my big boys getting their things. I love it. Love it. All right. And that wraps up Nerdy Nuggets. I was in the 212. What's your dick like, homie? Nigga, what are you into? The Azealia Banks meal. Comes with boiled cat.
What? Okay, so what?
What's wrong, Dre? You've barely touched your Azealia Banks McDonald's meal.
Oh, God.
Is that cunt getting eaten?
Oh, God. Commercial.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Bye.
Here's the deal. We fail the mission, you die.
If we find out any information you give us is false, you die.
If we find out you have personalized license plates, you die.
What? No.
If you cough without covering your mouth.
Harley, although that isn't an open invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth.
All right, we're back, and we got a review for you. The Suicide Squad is a 2021 American superhero film based on DC Comics featuring the team Suicide Squad. Produced by DC Films, Atlas Entertainment, and the Safran Company, and distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, it is a standalone sequel to Suicide Squad and the 10th film in the DC Extended Universe. It was written and directed by James Gunn and stars an ensemble cast including Margot Robbie, Idris Elba, John Cena, Joel Kinnaman, Sylvester Stallone, Viola Davis, Jai Courtney, and Peter Capaldi. In the film, the Suicide Squad is sent to destroy evidence of the giant alien Storo. All right, so we're gonna do something different because I know we be rambling on these damn reviews. So, but we're gonna try a different format. We're gonna do the good, we're gonna do the bad, and we're gonna do the nigga what. So, let's go good first. Dre, what did you like about the movie?
The good. I liked the initial gratuitous violence. Because everyone knows that I am, you know, a fan of violence in movies.
Clack, clack, splat, splat, nigga, bitch.
Fucking blowing faces off. Fucking, like, literally a whole fucking face. Fucking,
Yo, the oh yeah, when we're spoiling the shit out of this. So, yeah. when Ariana Grande's ex-boyfriend got his face blown off, like, it looked... It looked like someone took an extra big bite out of an apple.
Honestly, nigga, that's the best way to describe it. It was disgusting, and I live for it. Miss Alien, what's her name again?
Mungal.
Mungal. Jumping.
I don't know what she. Yeah, jumping on the helicopter. I don't know what she thought was gonna happen.
I'm like, was she ready to die? I think she was ready to die.
I think when you like. Characters that be jumping wild on helicopters, I just assume have extra durability.
Yeah.
Mama just did that because she felt like it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I liked seeing Captain Boomerang. I was sad when he got, you know, chewed up by that helicopter, but I was I liked it. I liked the fact that because you need to have characters we care about, so like it hurts when they get chopped. So not like there are some characters what's his face, he played the super racist in The Walking Dead. And then they gave him some bundles and said, all right, so you just gonna be in this real quick. Him, I was like, yeah, he's gonna die because we don't even know his. Like his
that nigga
superpower
killed a fucking
is,
bird in the beginning.
Yeah, like
he killed a little birdie. He was dying.
Yeah, if your superpower is basically extreme handball, yeah, you're dying.
What else?
Harley Quinn, obviously.
Oh God, of course. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oof. Harley is always a key.
Yeah, because she's so She's such a psycho, but she's so sweet.
With a heart of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that she usually only kills cishet men.
Yeah.
Warms my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate that. yeah, we'll get back to her. Idris Elba playing himself, but just like a slightly shadier version. Bloodsport.
Yeah, 'cause we were talking about earlier, you know, he got to keep his accent, so amen. Bloodsport.
Yeah, like yeah, he keeps his accent in most things now. So yeah, it's just like you sign Idris Elba on, like this is exactly what you're getting.
Yep, so. Yep.
The fact that he was cussing out his own daughter,
nigga,
that shit sent me. It's like, fuck you. I was like, yo. I loved it because the fact that it's like, oh, you know, like he's a tough guy, but he's got a soft spot for his daughter. Like, it's been done to death. Like, let's flip it. Let's do like a tough dude who he does love his daughter, but he's not necessarily the best father, i.e. like cussing her out in front of everybody.
Like the whole prison.
The whole prison. Like, yo.
At the top of his lungs.
At the top, like, yeah. And I love it when Storm Reed gets ghetto. I love it. Like,
nigga, it's so funny. Because, like, is it me? Or when Storm Reed gets really mad, it's like her eyes get smaller.
Yeah, it's like they get
it's
smaller.
It's like she squints more. It's so funny to see.
Yeah, you better yell at your daddy, little light skin.
the way it was shot, the colors, when Harley was killing the niggas who kidnapped her, like the flowers that came out of her back.
Yeah, because in her mind, it's, you know, killing is a joy, so she doesn't just see blood, she sees flowers. And it was also a way to kind of offset the blood on screen, because after a while, it's just like, girl, this is too much. Like we need to give people's eyes a break.
We killing people again. Okay.
Polka Dot Man.
Oh my God.
Such a sweetie.
The queer superhero.
Yeah. Like, he was like, oh, literally, he was hinting at it the whole time. He was like, I'm sorry, my power is a little flamboyant. Yeah. And then, Miss Ratcatcher was like, oh, I like it. It's cute. I was like,
yeah. Also, he has mother issues. So, there's that.
That shit was wild. Like, that was, like, when he turned and, like, he basically sees his mother in every person he meets. I'm like, that's just the type of absurdity that we needed in this movie. I'm like, okay. Yes. Yeah. I like that. Yes. I like that. And his power. The fact that he was, like, low-key, like, the most powerful person on the team.
Yeah.
Because of his kind of, like, an inferiority complex, he just kind of, like, kind of cowers a little bit. And he doesn't really use it a whole lot. So, it's unfortunate. Because, like, he literally, like, it's like a, what did he say? He has an interdimensional, like, virus or something.
Virus,
some shit. He creates, like, little, like, I guess portals or some shit. Like, his power is bomb as shit.
Yeah, basically, like, he can disintegrate things by releasing these polka dots.
Yeah, literally.
Literally disintegrate them. They're gone.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Who else? Oh, of course, King Shark. My baby daddy with your two dicks
that they didn't show.
Not even in the bulge. I was upset. Voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
They did show someone else's. They did show someone else's.
Yes, they did. But they killed him. He was thick too.
He was.
He was thick. Like the. It made me stutter. Like his body was thick. Like the dick was thick. Like when he fell back, when he caught that bull in his chest, when he fell back, the dick said, "Oh, we hit, bro."
That
package was obese.
Shut the fuck up. Going back to Harley's killing, the fact that she killed like a sadistic ass dictator, basically.
Yeah.
Good. Love to see that.
Literally, charmed him, got him to wine and dine her, fuck her brains out, which I thought was interesting. I like the fact that they didn't necessarily show her naked, but they showed him naked, which I like. Action movies this action movie, I like the fact how they like kind of flipped the male gaze, and so now it's like the female gaze. Like we're seeing more, like instead of seeing just like gratuitous like breasts and like ass and female ass and vagina, like we're seeing more dick, we're seeing more bulge, we're seeing more man booty. I'm like, okay, all right, I fucks with this. just straight up killed him and like gave like the best monologue in the movie about like why she gotta kill these niggas. It's because like I be killing the worst niggas. When I leave, they just gonna kind of do their own thing. So except for Joker, he's still alive, but we'll get to that.
Right.
Ratcatcher. Such a sweetheart. Even though her power makes me physically sick.
Yeah.
People were giving Bloodsport shit. It was like, you're scared of rats. I'm like, I'm pretty sure like you have a thing about rats. I'm like, I'm pretty sure every sane person has a thing about rats.
Like, does anybody want rats in their home? I don't think anyone does.
Jesus Christ. Just
like, it's so many.
Like she used that Wii remote to summon the rats, and then all of a sudden it was just like you looked down. I was like, why is the ground moving? Like absolutely not.
No,
Miss Waller, Amanda Waller.
Okay, like, wait. Are we switching to the bad? Or are we switching?
No,
to, are we
still in the no, bad? No. Because I liked Amanda Waller's performance.
Oh God.
It was
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the performance. Okay, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, the performance. The yeah.
Okay.
No, like she was just as vile as she was supposed to be.
Gosh, she was a dickhead.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she was so in, and she was vile in the original Suicide Squad movie, but it didn't make sense. it just didn't make sense. But here, like, she didn't even have to like do too much. Like, she didn't do a whole lot more. She just like just. They actually let Viola act. They actually let her do her damn thing, like giving me like that YouTube video with Tyler the Creator and some white girl just kind of like, you know, always interrupting him, like, "Oh my God, can you just let me do what I need to do?" You know, just yes. that's what I was given. So yeah, she was like, she really, really like gave it in that movie, and I really appreciated it. I love the fact that Amanda Waller is, she's too powerful to bring down, and she's just a human in this big world, and I really appreciate that. And I really liked Starro. I really liked Starro. Like I thought it was really cool to bring on such a very odd villain, who has a very particular power set, can like, you know, mind control people using like miniature Starros. I thought that was dope. One of those final images, where you see the rats like chewing away at Starro, and Harley Quinn like does a swan dive with the javelin, from Javelin Man into the eye, and like what we're looking at is extremely disgusting, but because of the way it's shot, it's actually quite beautiful. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
Really good camaraderie, really great action scenes. I love Bloodsport's like weapons. Like it was giving Power Ranger. Like he just pulling shit out with like these giant big ass blasters. I love the mask that he had on. It was pretty cool, and like I like the fact that like there wasn't a whole lot of downtime, but or like they would give us some pretty moments in between all the violence, like the the King Shark aquarium scene. I like that. It was like, I'm like, oh my God, he's such a cute little himbo. I like
him. Yeah, they definitely psyched us out with that. We really thought that those little fish things that are following him were friendly.
Friends is like, no. They were just, you know, they were just gassing him up. So, you know, his endorphins would be at the right level before they ripped him apart. So, yeah, good camaraderie, good teamwork, you know, and just like everything just kind of went, you know, like there was no lull. I was never bored, which I really appreciate it. And it was basically about the same running time as the last one, and they did everything they needed to do in the movie. So good. Bad, Peacemaker. Fuck him.
God. Ugh.
Fuck him.
Just a piece of shit.
Sideways. Fuck him diagonally. Fuck him with a dry cactus. Just fuck him.
Yeah.
Fucking toilet head piece of shit.
Yeah. Also, him and Bloodsport killing all of those
people of color.
People of color. It was in the damn village. People. I was like,
it was okay, it cool, was fuck, but ugh. I mean, this is a little too. Had they been white, it would have been a little bit more palatable, but like it was just like, not only are there people of color, and then you find out they're part of the resistance.
Yeah,
I'm just like, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because they were like just doing it, like they were using it as like it was just sport, and I was like,
yeah, like blood sport. I mean, it's right. I mean, hey, it's in his name, so
yeah.
The fact that Peacemaker, this extremely white person, like he's giving us like. What's his face? He was giving us like U.S. agent tease, but the fact that he was using a damn bamboo dart to kill people. I'm like, this is wrong. This is like appropriation and genocide. Girl, what's happening here?
Choose one. Actually, choose neither, but whatever.
Choose neither, please.
Yeah, he was like, God, he represented so many. He represented the attitude of so many of the quote unquote diehard patriots in the U.S., like basically willing to do anything to keep the U.S.'s reputation.
Mm-hmm. I'm pristine. Upset. Yeah, just very, very upset. I'm mad at Rick Flag that, like, when he had Peacemaker down, he didn't just go across his head one more time with right. the crowbar.
Double tap.
He had to fucking choke him out to watch him die. I'm like, that's like what? Just go across his head one time.
Get the job done.
Javelin through the eye, or like the crowbar through the eye. That's right. Why you did, nigga. That's why you did. That shit pissed me off. Plus the fact that just showboating. Just get the damn job done. My God. What else? What else did I not like? I didn't like the fact that King Shark was, they dumbed him down. He was like the idiot of the group. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I did like the fact that he was slowly learning like English and like, you know, different languages, like as he, you know, grew. So, cool. But like part of me wished that they would have used the persona from the Harley Quinn show, but I also understand that like the King Shark in the Harley Quinn show is black coded, is intelligent, he's black coded, and he's queer coded. And had they have put that persona in the movie, it would have drawn attention away from the main characters. So, but he would have but he would have had the best lines.
Yeah. Also, even though I like Sebastian, once again, I definitely have to say that the amount of fucking rats that I was subjected to watch in this movie is unacceptable, okay? There were too many goddamn... Look, it's PTSD for me. I am from New York.
New York.
It's just... seeing that many rats in one place, I just... I had the urge to throw up many times.
Remind you of the one train?
God, no, nigga, the F. It reminds me of the 3. It reminds me of the fucking 4. Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It reminds me of fucking walking in Manhattan during New Year's Eve. Having all that trash on the fucking... Like, all the tourists putting all their trash in the middle of the street and the rats having a field day.
Having a little kiki.
Niggas, they just know what day it is. They're like, oh, bitch. Here ooh, they come. Bitch. Ooh.
We finna turn up today.
Like, when that fucking video went viral of that rat taking that
dragging
slice
a pizza. Dragging a pizza.
I was like, bitch, that's about right. That's about right. Yeah. These rats are fucking wild.
Home of the hustlers. I don't know if
you ever saw... Right, there was this video of this... this pigeon getting fucked up by this rat.
Oh, no.
Nigga, New York rats are a different breed. They are literally Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. They're, what's his name? Master Splinter. They, nigga, I swear. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's come back. I did not like the rats, I guess, to sum it up.
Yeah,
but they did what they needed to do. They did their job. So
yeah, I also didn't like the fact that they kind of left the outcome of the civilians who were affected by Starro kind of open ended.
Yeah,
like
because
usually in like if like these like in an alien movie or something like that, if people get their brains taken over, if you kill the big alien, like the small aliens like detach and then people are okay. But yeah, they just kind of like left it open, which was kind of really bleak.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Sure.
Right. Yeah. I did not like that they killed Polka Dot Man so abruptly.
I mean, I saw it coming.
I saw it coming. I saw it coming too, but I still didn't like it. Like that, like he was just chill, all of a sudden, Starro just stepped on him. I was like, what?
Like, the no, fuck? Like the minute you like lose your attention and you're like, yes, oh my god, but, oh he's dying.
That's how it always happens. Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, but Ratcatcher did mourn him. Yeah. I also like I like the fact that they actually mourned their characters. Like they mourn their teammates in this.
The queer characters getting killed is just like
The fact that like I guess we can move to the nigga what like the fact they hit us with the okie doke with Milton.
Nick.
Oh, apparently like he had a thing for Milton. I was like, damn. I mean, listen, like me too, girl. But chubby king over there.
Y'all didn't notice my nigga over here? Like,
this mommy, that is my man.
That's my man.
I can like, who is
Milton? I'm going to stick beside him.
I'm going to stick beside him. Like, yes, Milton. None of you bitches remember Milton. Drove the car for y'all bitch asses. He was a rider. I ain't never gonna find nobody else like him. And then Harley was like, who's Milton?
Oh my god.
I really don't know. And they're like, oh, that Milton. Oh,
that guy.
That guy. Polka Dot Man look back at her like, bitch.
Yes. But also, we definitely have to put the nigga what, even though it was hilarious and we kind of talked about it, touched on it. Polka Dot Man's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Nigga what? And not only that, in the forest, while they was at the club, like... The Starro, the giant Starro. I was like, when they had his mother as like the giant Starro, I partially thought that they were gonna put that lady in a Starro outfit.
Could you imagine?
That would have gagged me.
Like, I fucking screamed, nigga.
I would have had her looking like Ginger Minj in her original season.
Bitch.
Final four. Final four in All Stars.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah. Is that the only nigga what that? Oh, Weasel being alive.
That. Like wow,
like at the end they just say,
like at the end I'm like the fact that he like he's killed almost 30 kids and nigga, he's just running around the jungle,
like I don't want that, like somebody needs to do something about that now,
please somebody, and the fact that Peacemaker is still alive.
For his
damn TV show. Who is, like, why did they decide to do a Peacemaker TV show? Like, what was the point of that? I guess that they might have to, like, you know, they're probably going to, like, make him likable or something like that. They're probably going to be like, they're probably going to be like, oh, wow, America's actually fucked up. And then he's going to be like, you know, whatever. He's like, they're probably going to. Either they're gonna keep him the character he is, or they're gonna turn him into like a Punisher type for DC. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. The soundtrack was okay, but it was giving Rambo era. Like, I know, like, give us some bots. I mean, I understand, like, the previous Suicide Squad was, like, heavy with, like, hip-hop and all that stuff. And I guess they were trying, like, aesthetically, they were trying to give it a different feel. But, like, Let's get some nigga music up in there next time if they do it. Yeah. Thank you. And if they do make another one, y'all got to take out at least three of the main characters. No, like that's just because like it's like because the way the Suicide Squad works, it's like niggas die.
Mm-hmm.
Like you gotta it be like that. So
yeah,
I mean, granted, Bloodsport isn't going anywhere. Harley definitely isn't going anywhere. But Ratcatcher 2, she might get the chop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Suicide Squad. It was fun. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And it's cute. Tune in next episode where we're gonna be reviewing What If and Titans. That'll be fun. So we are going to take another break, and we will be right back. All right. We are back with another sample plata for you. This one, it's a fun one. You ever be walking down the street, listening to your headphones or working out, and song comes on, it's just intense, and you just are immediately transported into a fight scene out of a movie, and you immediately just be like, ah, backflip. Haymaker, karate chop, yeah. This is what that playlist is like. It's the ass-beating playlist or songs that we picked that we would like to be in action scenes for. So, or what was it? We pick songs that we would like to that we would see ourselves acting out in action scenes. Like, mm-hmm. we would love to have these playing like in the background. So I'm gonna let Dre go first. What you got?
Yes. So it would be disrespectful for me not to do a song by the King of Crunk himself, Lil Jon. No matter what type of song Lil Jon makes, it seems like, or you just get the feeling of, nigga, I want to fight. You know, it's just the energy he brings. It's like fun, but also like fight, but like a fun fight, you know, quirky, you know, not like other fights. So the first song that I'm going to play that I would love to see niggas beat an ass to, or myself in an action movie, is What You Gonna Do. Shit. Now let's talk about some white niggas.
Shit.
Lorenzo, come on. Now you better give me some more energy than that, goddammit. This is the King of Crunk, nigga. I'm sorry. But yes, shout out to Lil Jon for consistently making songs that niggas want to fight and fuck to. Or fucking fight. Wait, no. Do niggas want to fuck to his songs? I don't know.
People are weird.
Yeah, people are weird. So yeah, yeah.
Like yeah, so. Like and XTube, rest in peace. You go in there and like watch like you see the thumbnail and be like, oh wow, them niggas getting it in. You click on it and they getting their guts rearranged to what they gonna do? What they gonna do?
You're right.
That was the beauty of XTube.
Yeah. R.I.P. to a real bitch.
All right. I'm up next. So I'm going to pick a newer artist. She goes by the name of Dochi, aka I Am Dochi. This song, like, it's high energy. Like, Mama Got the Bars. She got the vibes, and like I would beat up 10 niggas to this song. It's I Am Dochi with Spooky Coochie. You know we get violent. You don't wanna try this.
You know we be violent. By the time you hear this, I'll have taken on another form. The way I've been snapping, y'all gon' end up my children of the corn. I think I've adapted to all of the cannibal savages. I feel a possession in the session. I need a Catholic to assess it. Come and bless it, then undress it. Pussy precious, she a fetish. She get deadly, I'ma get it. I won't eat it, I'ma get it. He don't give it, he regret it. Coochie vegan, it's a veggie. Come and eat this coochie dressing. I am Dolce, I am legend. Don't shoot me, just get the message. You got beat them bitches dressing. UPS it, I'm too young to beat this restless. See you bitches, shit you.
By the time you hear this, I'll have taken on another form. The way I be snapping, y'all gonna end up my children of the corn. I was like, oh,
Like, come through, mama. God
come
damn.
On, come through. Because, like, you know, some female rappers are, you know, embarrassing us right now. So we need some new girls. Thank you,
Lord.
Dochi up next.
Yes.
Dochi is the fuck up next.
Yes.
Right.
Speaking of female rappers, my next song is by. Megan Thee Stallion from my favorite project of hers called Fever. 2019 was quite a year. It's just so lovely, fond memories. And that mixtape was the soundtrack to a lot of my memories from 2019. But the song I'm gonna play right now is called, it is a song that, you know, niggas absolutely want to fight to because it makes you, you know, gives you that feeling. WAB, which stands for what? Weak ass bitch. Thank you, Megan, so much. Let's go.
I don't wanna hear no more shit talking out of none of you bitches for the rest of the motherfucking year. Now I dressed it, now let me see who gon' test it.
Weak ass bitch on that weak ass shit. Fuck you and your weak ass friends. Don't nobody want your man weak ass dick.
He ain't about that shit, bitch, so don't play with me, ho. If I run up in your shit, you'll swear I'm dead wrong. All that internet shit.
When I say weak ass, you say bitch. When I say weak ass, you say bitch. Weak ass bitch.
Bitch.
Weak ass bitch.
Bitch.
Dun 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 dun.
Yo, the way Megan is just like so confident and calling niggas bitch, like it's just
fuck you and your weak ass friends. Don't nobody want your man weak ass dick.
Wow, a queen,
love it. Truly. All right, my next song is from a member of the Flatbush Zombies, Mishi Darko. He has the final verse in The Results Are In. It's just the rawest. It's some of the rawest shit I've ever heard. BG Darko, Flatbush Zombies, The Results Are In.
Sending these shots to your self-esteem.
When you got the juice, you gotta move like the bishops do. Even if that means killing every nigga in your crew. I'm the type to screw over anyone to make a move. Paper I pursue, looking for a big head, brunette, baby boo. She could be black and white, just like the cartoon. I ain't picky, no invite to the VMAs. Guess they knew I was gonna shoot this shit up like sticky. Fingers on the trigger and it's getting itchy. I like my sex hot, sticky, sweat dripping, kinky, figure licking. Bitches fuck with me, get they honor me.
This man said,
when you got the juice, you gotta move like the bishops do. Every if that means killing every nigga in your crew.
I was like, wait, what? Doing what?
Am I allowed to hear this?
Michi Darko is a fucking monster. Right? Like that growl he puts on when he raps. It's wild. So.
I love it.
All right.
So, my last song is, I say the best for last in my opinion, because this song is just straight to the point. There's no ambiguity. Thank you.
Damn, you got it. Come on, SAT.
There's none of that. There's no mistaking what the song is about. There's no, oh, wait, you know, that's up for interpretation. There's no interpretation. It's straight up. The song that I'm going to play is by Crime Mob, and the song is simply called I'll Beat Your Ass.
Purr.
So, yeah, let's go.
I'll beat your ass, my nigga. I'll beat your ass.
I'll beat your ass.
I'll beat your ass. the giant, not the river. I deliver all the hits. Teach you how to talk that shit. I'm the one who got these niggas screaming. Head and wood, bitch. Chrome shit to your face. Everlasting like the yay. Put them hands on that nigga. Gonna get him out my way.
I beat your ass. I beat your ass. I beat your ass, my nigga. I beat your ass, my nigga. Look. Listen. When a song goes straight to what it's about, I stand. The song is about niggas getting slick and someone seeing it and seeing that it's directed toward them, be like, nigga, guess what? I'll beat your ass. Like, let's be clear. There's nothing else to say. I'll beat your ass, my nigga. I'll beat your ass. Poetry, to me. Poetry in motion, for me. Yes. Stop a nigga out, I'll beat your ass one day. It'll change your life.
Bow, bow, bow. Wonderful. All right. And my last song comes from a dope-ass MC by the name of Angel Hayes. If you don't know who she is, like... Google her. She is a wonderful queer, gender non-conforming rapper. Like she's been on the scene for a bit. Like I think wow, yeah. Last time I listened to her, it was the first time I listened to her, it was like a decade ago. So she's been around for quite some time, and this track, like I'll be wanting to do backflips. I'll be wanting to crack niggas across their heads. Like, you know, I play this like damn near every game. Like before I start a game. This is Angel Hayes with the Wolves.
Ha! Stay. Heavily sedated niggas test my patience. Give me high, nigga, heaven is waiting. Is it funny how I'm fire, I can swallow the sun. Walk around like a messiah, like I'm sighting the Satan. Nigga, I don't wanna hear about the duck you play. Are you mad when they hitting on the shit you ain't? Now when your shit lit, my shit in flame. They be talking all that shit, but ain't shit you saying. Oh lordy, lordy, these bitches, they boring. Oh lady, rivers, easy, oh I'm snoring. Move in the top and pull off in the form. When it rains, then ain't nothing can keep me from pouring. Oh no, I can't come out there. Nothing out there left
for me. Ah, woo! Ah, woo! Yeah. It's a bop. It's a bop to get stomped out to. Love it. Angel.
Oh, listen. If you look, I said it before, but Angel Hayes was just that girl. Like, if you were on Tumblr during the mid to late 2000s, if you had a MySpace page, she just was running... The alt girls, you know, Tumblr and MySpace spaces. She just did it. Like she just gave what she was supposed to give. And that was just it.
Wonderful. And with that wraps up our playlist for today. Thank you so much for listening. I think you can get all of them on Spotify or Apple Music, but for Michi Darko's verse, you'd have to go to a mixtape site, and it the mixtape is Better Off Dead, and it's the last track. So, all right, we're gonna take one more break, and we will be right back. All right, we are back, and now it's time to scrape the plate. I'm going to let the homie Dre go first. He got something on the spirit. What you
got? Yes, sir. So so I want to talk about a disaster that has happened. Haiti has again been hit by another earthquake. It was a magnitude 7.2 earthquake. And it happened, as we're recording right now, this morning, August 15th. The death toll is up to about 724 and 2,800 injured, with thousands more displaced from the destroyed or damaged homes. Survivors in some areas were forced to shelter in streets or soccer fields, but the few belongings they were able to salvage from their homes. And the earthquake is enough you know, bad enough. But the fact that it could soon worsen with the... So, Tropical Storm Grace is set to... It's predicted to reach Haiti late Monday or early Tuesday. With, you know, bringing the potential of torrential rain, flooding, landslides, all that shit. The National Hurricane Center forecasts 4 to 8 inches of rain in Haiti and the Dominican Republic with up to 15 inches in some southern parts of the island. So it struck the southwestern part of the hemisphere's poorest nation, because Haiti is the poorest nation, if you didn't know. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because, like, Haiti has been, like, experiencing so much devastation for decades. They have a lot of natural disasters. But I think it's not the fact that they just have natural disasters. And one thing about it is that a lot of people have been doing this thing, specifically, like, religious right folks. They'll bring up, you know, Haiti has, like, alternate religions or beliefs, and, you know, it's God's justice, and et cetera, et cetera.
Here we go.
And I think the wild thing about it is that people like to act like it's God's justice against Haiti when it's really just colonialism and imperialism. That's just what it is. Because if you didn't know, France is still making Haiti pay them for beating, for forcing them out of their country.
Forcing them out.
They are forcing them.
They beat their asses. Made them get the fuck out.
And they're making, like, them pay.
You gotta pay.
Because they told them to get the fuck off of their island. And so because Haiti has been forced to give all of their resources, almost all their resources and money and all that shit under the threat of, like, invasion or war, because they simply cannot handle that because they don't have a military that will be able to stand against the modern French. They've been poor for literal decades. And people love to act like Haiti is poor of their own volition or their own fault, if you will. And I hate the fact that people love to blame black folks for their misfortune when, one, anti-blackness is global, and two, if you would just do a little bit of reading, you will realize that this shit is deep-rooted in some really vile, disgusting shit that France has been doing for the longest. Also, the fact that, you know, because, like, Haiti had, like, a really, really bad earthquake. Was it almost a decade ago? I think a little over or something like that. Where there were so many people who were taking advantage of Haiti's earthquake. And, like, they were creating, you know... crowdfund things where
nonprofits and shit,
nonprofits where they would collect money and none of the money went to Haiti, like literally none of it. And so people have been taking advantage of Haiti for the longest, and keeping Haiti poor no matter, like, the efforts that Haiti has put forward to build themselves up literally does nothing because of the interference of white colonialism and imperialism. You cannot fight against that when it is insidious in that manner. So whenever I see Haiti or, like, poor black nations in general getting demonized for things that are the direct result of imperialism and colonialism, it really makes me mad to hear that type of shit. Because I remember, I actually remember hearing that in church one time, because, you know, Haiti, practices, you know, they have like religions that are based in traditional African beliefs.
Traditional African beliefs, i.e. European Christianity.
Right. Because it doesn't align with European Christianity. Exactly. They're like, oh yeah, well, you know, they got to do better or something. I remember being so confused, like, wait, what? Like, this is, so basically, because black folks in another country are practicing beliefs that were passed down to them, they're getting punished for. It's like the manner in which I, like, the shit that was,
yeah, it really told to me off.
Yeah. So I just really hate, and I know, I really hope it's different this time, but, you know, anti-blackness, of course, I don't expect this to be. This was a devastating earthquake. And because the tropical storm is coming, it's going to be even worse. And more people are going to die. More people are going to get injured. More people are going to get displaced. I am hoping and praying that the people who choose to take advantage of this natural disaster are driven out a lot faster than they were way back when they did it during the first earthquake. But I'm not really hopeful, because once again, like I said, anti-blackness, imperialism, colonialism, yeah, it's insidious.
Yeah.
And I just really urge people, if you are interested in like helping the nation of Haiti, do so in with reputable sources. Like, do so when it comes down to it, do so with crowdfunding as opposed to like nonprofit stuff. Because when it comes down to it, you can track more where your money is going when it comes to crowdfunding things, specifically with people who are in the nation or from the nation who can vouch for that being a reputable place. These nonprofits, it's just not giving what it's supposed to give. And it's just really hurting my heart thinking that these Haitians who have been through so much are going to have to deal with this again. So, yeah, I'm just thinking of Haiti right now and, like, how much they've been through and, like, how much I'm hoping that this shit doesn't end up like it did in the first earthquake. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dre. Thoughts going up to Haiti. Just to add a little bit more, to what you said. Like, yeah, the hurricanes wouldn't even be this bad if it weren't for, people across the world not giving a fuck about climate change. It's really, really, really frustrating. Like, had Haiti gotten the help that they needed decades ago, we wouldn't be in this situation. And for the Black Americans judging Haitian religion like their natural religion because it's not Christianity, y'all need to do a little research, because a lot of y'all great 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 grandparents were sneaking in African spiritualistic practices underneath Christianity.
Say that.
The whole gospel, the whole like clapping your hands and stomping your feet and hollering and all this shit, like, you think some white people made that shit up? No. So like, I'm really gonna need y'all to like read some literature on the subject, because yeah. But yeah, prayers up to Haiti. All right, moving on. It's gonna be quick for me. So I know we make fun of the different the rapper McDonald's Happy Meal of the Week, the Saweeties, the Travis Scott's, the Migos meal. This is cute, like get your money and all that stuff. But I just think it's very interesting that when skinny, conventionally attractive people promote McDonald's meals, no one gives them shit. But let Lizzo eat a carrot, or let Lizzo put any piece of food in her mouth, and all of a sudden it's 20,000 comments about what she should and should not be eating. where was the same energy for Saweetie? Where was the same energy for the Migos when they was doing the Dabba Ranch and the Popeye's chicken meal for Travis Scott for fucking even that what that K-pop group had their own like McDonald's meal. Where was the smoke for them? Like McDonald's didn't stop being unhealthy because like skinny people started promoting the shit. Like, but let a fat celebrity like do anything, specifically Lizzo. And y'all got something to say. Like, y'all need to mind your own damn motherfucking business. Like, if you want to eat McDonald's, eat McDonald's. But, like, berating somebody because of their diet choices, it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's steeped in anti-fatness. And y'all need to back the fuck up and let people eat what they gonna eat. So, shit pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah, like there's like a long-standing thing of Saweetie being able, like, it's celebrated that she eats like
whatever the wildest she wants.
Shit, right? And nobody thinks about like,
she be eating oysters with ramen seasoning and hot sauce and a spot of blue nobody's cheese.
Like, I wonder if her blood pressure is high or hey, is her cholesterol great? No, they don't care because she's thin. So, of course, she's fine.
Getting peanut butter on her sliders.
Right.
Like,
there was literally a video of Lizzo eating, what was it? She was eating, like, eggplants.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, cucumbers and some shit. And niggas were like, fucking, oh, she dipped it in ranch. Look at her. I was like, nigga, shut the fuck.
Wow. It's none of your damn business. Ugh.
Right.
But anyway. Moving on to the positive, how dope was that Rumors video?
Oh my god.
Stamp like, her ticket for that Hercules movie, okay?
Thank you. The girls just can't take her. The girls can't take her.
They cannot. And oh my, like she was serving for the big girls. She had like all her backup dancers were plus size black women.
All
of them. We love it. And in different shades, okay? We love to see that. The statues, you know, the naked Greek statues, they were fat. And I was like, oh, I enjoyed that. Love that. Like, hello. You better objectify these men, these large men, right. Like I do. I really appreciated that. Cardi B, stay pregnant in a music video. I love it.
For real.
Purr.
They look good. Yeah. And it was just a cool concept. It was a really cool concept.
Yeah, it's royal. Really dope. Yeah. One more thing. Have you seen that White House chef?
Yes, I have. Like, nigga, you're a chef. Why are you this brolic for no reason? What are you doing as a chef that you need to be this brolic? It's like those niggas who work at Target. Like, sir, what exactly are you doing in Target that you need to have this much upper body strength?
Like, let this nigga not be paying attention and he flip a hamburger and it end up underneath a Spirit airplane.
Oh god.
But I know one thing you're not gonna do, like if you eating in his kitchen, you're not gonna send shit back.
Oh no! Nah. Oh yeah, no. This is exactly what I ordered. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
no problem.
It's like you sure? You sure? I thought you said you wanted them like fried medium. Fried hard is actually my favorite.
Chef's choice, actually. Yeah. Whatever he deemed. As the right way to cook it, I'm gonna eat. Mm. So yeah,
that nigga standing in the doorway staring you down with his fucking arms crossed, like that's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh my god, this nigga debones chicken with his pointer finger and his thumb.
Rip the whole spine out.
Yeah, he. He just throws bags of potatoes onto the table like they're beanbag chairs. But it be like, but listen, it be like that. Cause like I worked in the kitchen before, and I worked, you know, I was in the expo line. I was, you know, serving and this, that, and the third. And like niggas will come through with the most disrespectful shit in the kitchen. Like they'll be jumping in your face like, oh, can you do this? I'm like, yo, it's 20 tickets on here. Like, right. You're going to have to calm down, write a note and put it down. Cause like we dealing with 80 million orders right now. So you're going to have to like calm down. And people don't be wanting to respect the chef, but you're going to respect this nigga.
Right.
I mean, if you don't like the food, like you're more than welcome to fight the chef. But you just gotta sign this waiver first. Right. He looked like if Terry Crews fused with himself.
Oh my god! Don't you call that Chef a coon? Don't you do it?
He's not. But, oh my god! Not him standing up for people who don't bathe.
Nigga, like of all the things to stand up for. Like,
if what do you mean if you're not sweaty, you don't need to, bro. You sell soap! You sell soap! Shut up!
Oh,
shut up! Anyway, that concludes another wonderful episode of Big Boy Brunch. Please subscribe and hit the notifications because we drop new episodes every friggin' week, girl. We will. Like, we're gonna drop one Monday morning, and then we're gonna drop one Wednesday morning because to make up for last week, because we love y'all deeply. Dre, where can they find you?
Yes, sir. I am on Twitter at Exhibit Dre, and I'm on Instagram at Exhibit_Dre.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lolo Von Z. That is LOLOVONZ. Also, please be sure to follow Big Boy Brunch on Twitter and Instagram as well. Thank you so much for listening and hanging in with us. We love you, especially different every time. Check, please.